Ken Leslie here on 880 The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk, and we're broadcasting live from the Harvest Farms Organic Studios. Well, folks, it's 4 o'clock on Monday. You know what time it is. It's time for the Voice of Beer. With the Thirsty Monk, Opus has just joined us in the studio. Welcome back to Local Edge Radio, Opus.
Hey, it's great to be back.
So, did you have a good weekend at the Thirsty Monk?
Oh, we had such a fantastic weekend. We're all still here, which is not surprising.
It's amazing.
At all.
No, Leslie had a rapture party at Sazerac. Did you do something for the rapture at Thirsty Monk?
Well, we had some beer specials starting at 6 o'clock. No, we had beer specials because we were still celebrating American Craft Beer Week, which really is more important than the rapture.
Yeah, how did that go last week?
That's why you are still here.
That's right, Opus. So a lot of activities last week for American Craft Brewery.
We had some amazing beer in that. Unfortunately, I didn't even get to taste all of the good stuff that we had. We had that amazing Dogfish Keg, Robert Johnson. Hellhound on my ale.
I remember we talked about Hellhound.
I missed that entirely, so if anyone has a bottle of that, I'm still looking for that. We had all these great giveaways. We had lots of great stuff.
So, Opus, when tourists stream into the Thirsty Monk, are they familiar that we are once again Beer City USA for the second year in a row?
I think there's signs on the highway now.
Oh,
when people enter Asheville.
Are they peeling off, or are they going to stay solid?
Oh, we're in for 2011, and we're good for another year. So
I think
let's paste those signs up.
So many people have such a vested interest in this Beer City title and just the beer industry here in Asheville that if somebody orders a beer in a restaurant or mentions beer or just looks beer worthy, there's going to be a person who tells them, who hips them to the fact that we are now, you know, for the third year running Beer City USA. I hear my staff telling people all the time, oh, guess what? We're Beer City.
I think we should even go one step further, and we should start branding all of our local breweries as Beer City. So when someone, you know, for instance, orders a Highland, it'll say Highland Beer City.
Or Beer City, Highland. Or from Beer City USA.
Absolutely.
There you go. Brewed in Beer City.
How about at all the main entrances to Asheville, we have giant pints of beer, ooh, like statues.
That'd be good.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that sounds lovely.
I have touched
who
a nerve.
Who would topple that statue?
So, Opus, what did you bring for us today?
Well, it's hot weather. It's like 90-plus degrees outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought in my favorite hot weather beer. I know we've had a few of these before, but this is a Saison.
Okay.
From Highland.
Ooh.
And this is a very exclusive beer that we managed to get on draft. You can also get it on draft at the Highland Tasting Room and both locations of the Thirsty Monk. It's the Llama Legato Saison. And Llama stands for Look at Me, Asheville. It's a foundation. It's a music-friendly foundation,
mm-hmm,
in Asheville. And Legato is a music term for collaboration. And Highland basically brewed this beer to go in conjunction with a CD release that was taking place in Asheville. I think the Mountain Medley is, mm-hmm, the name of the CD. So they brewed a beer in conjunction with the CD release. So hence the very very unique name, Llama. Not Llama with two L's, but Llama. Legato.
Now, is there something unique about the brewing process that makes this beer? I mean, I know we've tasted a couple of them in the past, but is there something unique there?
Well, the unique thing that goes around Saisons is that it's kind of a kitchen sink beer, traditionally.
Mm,
it's
good.
Anything that any ingredients that are cool that you kind of have left over or at hand kind of goes into the beer.
Because I got a couple of pizzas from this weekend that are sitting in the fridge. Can we throw those in, Opus?
You know, Highland is not Dogfish Head. Dogfish Head would throw a pizza in there. Highland, they're a little more purist, so they threw some lemon peels in here. There's some interesting spices in here.
It's kind of cloudy, too.
It is very cloudy. And Saisons tend to be a little on the cloudy, funky side.
All right, here we go, folks. Wait for it. Jim, you ready?
I'm not queued up.
Okay.
What? No, so I'm saying taste the beer.
I could do the chanting.
I'm not queued up.
It's a new beer term.
Producer lingo over there.
You know what I'm talking about.
The really cool thing about this beer is in the summertime, you know, everyone likes Hefeweizens, you know, German style wheats or Belgian style wheats. And then they say, oh, can I have a lemon with that, mm-hmm. or an orange? This has got it in the beer. Like, they pretty much, you know, squeeze lemons and put them in here.
You can taste it.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
You can definitely taste the citrus.
So it's one of those beers that you just don't need to add a garnish. You don't need to add the fruit because it's got that great lemony taste in it.
I really like this, and it's branded in a way that reflects Highland Brewing's continued support of other local businesses and certainly of the local music industry. And it just says a lot about their business model.
Absolutely. Yeah, Highland is always for working with the community and supporting music, and they have, like, live music at their tasting room. Just the fact that they made a beer for a specific CD release is pretty special.
I got a text alert or a Twitter alert. I'm sorry. Let's be clear on my
you don't text
my
anymore.
Alerts.
You just tweet.
I got a Twitter alert that Asheville Brewing is doing an infused beer with cinnamon and gummy bears.
Is that legal?
How do you feel about that, Opus?
we have an infuser in our downtown location, and they're fun to play with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole point of infusers, is really, like, it's something to play with.
Have you played with yours?
Oh, absolutely.
Are we just throwing different things in
yeah,
there?
Yeah. The last time I was downtown, I got to throw in some cocoa nibs in a already chocolate stout. And it was really amazing because you would think that the chocolate taste would actually get more chocolatey.
Mm-hmm.
But the bitterness of the cocoa nibs just totally took away the chocolate flavor. So you find some crazy experimental things. Gummy bears. Yeah, you know, it's definitely worth a shot. I don't think I would do it because I don't like the taste of gummy bears.
Do those really break down and release flavors? I thought they were kind of space age.
I think the half-life of a gummy bear is about 4 billion years.
I think the beer will work at it pretty well.
Really?
And it wasn't clear from the 140-character tweet whether it was going to be a single flavor of gummy bears, because I know they, you know, you can buy, like, single flavors an hour if it was just the hodgepodge.
Only the red gummy bears. I only must have red.
But now there's some purists out there that don't like this whole adding everything
and mixing of beers.
Absolutely. I mean, there are purists there who still think that black IPA shouldn't be a style of beer. There's people who think you shouldn't have chocolate in your beer. I mean, for every hobby and enthusiasm that there is, there's always, you know, people on the right and people on the left and people in between.
So what trends do you see out there? I know you mentioned people are, you know, mashing up, infusing beers, but is there other trends out there that you see on the horizon?
Well, new styles are always a good trend. Like the black IPAs are a new style. People are getting into Schwartz beers, and a lot of the new styles are actually very old.
Now, like, when you say Schwartz beers?
Schwartz beer, it's a Munich style lager, so it's a lager made with Munich style malts, and it's dark colors but light in taste. So it's a very unique beer because it looks like a stout, but it tastes like a lager with, like, just a little touch of malt taste to it. But for instance, the Saison that we're drinking right now, this is a style that was only popular in Belgium because they would only brew it on farms in Belgium. And the Belgians, like, they stopped drinking it because they had more breweries and less people brewing on their own homes. So you didn't see any Saisons around. So it was only until just the last 10 years that this style has just really come back with a gusto. Belgians started rebrewing Saisons, and then Americans were just like, this is a fantastic beer. It's light, it's golden, it's still got some decent percentage to it, it's got some funkiness. So you'll see, like, almost every American brewery is brewing a Saison right now.
Do you like it, Leslie?
I do. I like it a lot. And I like Belgian beers. So, I mean, I've noticed that I have sort of a proclivity for those styles of beer. You hear a lot lately about people resurrecting old recipes, and you sort of alluded to that, old styles, but very specifically, like, you know, we've uncovered this recipe from, you know, Egyptian papyrus or whatever, and trying to recreate those. Is that
Ben Franklin's beer?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Is that a trend, or is it just more of a novelty thing that occasionally, bubbles to the surface?
I think that's less trend and more novelty. There are few breweries that do take that leap, and they say, you know, we have an archaeological team that is in Egypt trying to find the original recipe, and we found it, and so we're brewing something up. Or there's actually some old honey that was found in Egyptian tombs that I think Dogfish bought, and they brewed a beer with that, like, thousands-year-old honey in it.
Wow.
Well, honey preserves really
true.
Well.
Okay.
So it's really just, if some brewery that's really out there that wants to try something really different, they'll do that.
Are you curious about that? I mean, would you, if you had the opportunity to taste one of these?
I've tasted all the old ale series that Dogfish Head does, and I just recently tasted a Craggy beer, I think the Rotten beer that's based on this old, I believe, German-style recipe.
They do a little bit of that, Craggy, using some old recipes.
They like to be uber traditionalists, and they go back beyond beers before America. They have a lot of old German style recipes, and I think they're interesting to taste. I think the Dogfish beers are interesting to taste. I mean, it really is just like any other beer. It's kind of what you like, and sometimes it's not a fantastic beer just because it is thousands of years old.
Gotcha.
It's that's the novelty factor, is the fact that it's that old. It's it doesn't necessarily make it good.
So I stopped by on Friday, folks, to see Opus and Barry down there at the Thirsty Monk, and I caught wind of some expansion plans in the downtown location. You're going up one floor, so you're going to have three levels. Is that correct?
We are. We have taken over the upstairs loft again, which is this absolutely gorgeous, huge ceiling, giant space loft with an amazing deck that looks out on the back part of Asheville. Not
party at Opus's.
That's right.
Yeah, really. We're putting our office space up there. So our managers can have some space to work and do all the behind-the-scenes stuff that we do. But we're also planning to do some private events there, some beer dinners, some homebrew tastings.
So you're saying there's a deck on the back that looks on that mountain range? Over that alley? Okay.
Oh, wow.
Your building is a basement and then two floors?
It's the basement on Commerce Street, and then the front entrance on Patton, and then the third floor studio.
Okay.
And I've spent some time there, and it's an amazing place to drink a beer and watch the sunset.
Sounds good.
It's great to hear another small business success story for Asheville.
Well, we've been really happy being in Asheville, and it's amazing the worldwide recognition, not just the Asheville recognition you get, but the worldwide recognition just for putting on good beer. That's what we like to do
and
anyway.
A lot of it, by
that's
the way.
Right.
I mean, really, anybody who's making plans to go to either location of Thirsty Monk needs to check out monkpub.com, because you need to sort of like get your bearings and maybe preview the beer selection at both locations. What I would suggest.
It's always funny because we have people who are daunted by our menus. They come in, they see at the south location there's like 28 beers just to read from. That usually you come in thirsty, and by the time you're looking over the menu, it's like, just get a beer and then look over the menu. That's what I usually recommend.
That's a great idea.
And then what is anything new going on at the south location?
Well, we've got our patio going on.
You have cornhole out there.
We've got that wonderful
corn
toss game.
As we call it in North Carolina.
We call it Bago in South Louisiana.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's actually a pretty good name.
You like that better?
I like corn toss.
Okay. They were playing it up in Girton.
You know, it's funny.
I was calling it Bago.
Someone was telling me that the origin of the game came in World War II. When they were the Navy was on these boats, and they just had all this downtime, and they they use their footlockers. They put holes in their footlockers on the bottom, and they use their footlockers to make these beanbag toss games. And if that's the origin of it, how did they name it cornhole?
I don't know. They were on the open sea.
It will always be Bacchanal.
Well, folks, Leslie's right. If you hadn't been to monkpub.com, the new website, it's like a beer portal. I mean, it's a great website. I'm sure you're getting a lot of positive comments about it, but I really do love it because it links to your Facebook and Twitter and everything else. But at the same time, you can just find out a wealth of information, not only what's going on at the Thirsty Monk, but beer in general. And highlighting things like last week, which was very important to everyone.
Yeah, and really, if you want to find out about any beer that we have on draft or have had on draft, it's on that website. You can check out this amazing beer database that we created just to keep up with our menus.
Well, because before we let you go, Leslie and I want to thank the Thirsty Monk for their support of 880 The Revolution and what we do here at Local Edge Radio. You're a real important part of the show, and we look forward to continuing to work with you. And we're going to plan another pint night for our listeners in June, because we still got about 100 pint night glasses left, don't we?
Well, we got a double order glasses, so we have probably about 100 of these one-of-a-time collector glasses.
We're going to dig up 100 listeners, and we're going to do it again at the end of
June. Not literally dig up. We're past the zombie apocalypse thing, okay? No more of that.
No zombie listeners. All right, Opus, thanks so much for coming by. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, we'll be right back with more Local Edge Radio.
Stay with us. We've got some announcements to make, and we still have to qualify a listener for that trip to Paris. It's Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie on 880 The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk.